Good morning, everybody. Sarah, you want to open up in prayer, please?
Lord, we thank you for your living word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that does minister to us. And we are thankful that that we can together come and learn from you as you teach us. So bless Phil as he speaks. And we thank you for whatever you have ministered to him. Please minister through him to us in Jesus' name.
All right, so today's message is going to be on the promises of God. His love for us is so great and reliable, gives us promises throughout the Bible that gives us hope in our daily lives. So two types of promises I will be sharing with you guys is this: unconditional promises and conditional promises. So conditional is an adjective. Its meaning is this: subject to one or more conditions or requirements being met, made or granted on certain terms. And unconditional's meaning is also an adjective, meaning not subject to any condition. So the unconditional promises will be those promises that are sealed with his word. Those are final. And the conditional promises are promises that are based upon obedience and trust. But one thing remains with both is that is his deep love for all of us. So Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go into the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." This promise was set in stone by God's word. Abram could not change this outcome, even though he took his family into Egypt for shelter because of famine. Genesis 12:10-20. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. And he was about to enter Egypt when he said to his wife Sarah, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister, so I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman, and when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep, cattle, male, female donkeys, men servant, and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she was my sister? So I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Things were pretty easy for Abram, huh? Got everything. Got everything in Egypt. So rough patches or hard seasons will enter our lives from time to time. Relying on God's promises is the only way us as Christians to get through. The Holy Spirit lets us know in these times of hardships that everything will be all right. So I know this and can attest to this. After 30 years of marriage, it's been one big roller coaster ride of ups and downs. But But this ride has been an amazing one because of our Lord. Stephanie and I know that whatever happens, good or bad, that he is with us, guiding us and protecting us no matter where we are in our thoughts and actions. We aren't going to change his love for us because we are his children. So Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give another helper to be with you forever. These are all promises, you guys. Getting to know our Father should be our main goal as Christians. I mean, we're created to have communion with him. God tells us in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. We are special to him, and he is our sovereign God. His unconditional promises to us give us that hope to rely on him in all things. Here are some of unconditional promises. Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy, burden is light. Matthew 19:26, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 28:18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are his. The gospel or good news of Jesus is our foundation as believers. The Old Testament teaches us through many examples of followers of God. We can search through the Old Testament and find teachings that relate to our world and everyday lives because God went into detail with these characters' stories. One example of a conditional promise would be Samson. Judges 16:17. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me. I would become as weak as any other man. If anyone wants to know about a Nazarite, Moses explains it in part of some of his rules and stuff in Genesis. Or I know it was in Exodus. It was a certain type of person set aside for God. This was God's condition for Samson. He was set aside for a purpose to do his will. Samson understood fully what would happen if this condition was broken. As obedient children, we understand God's conditions and promises. Samson's example is very extreme, and awful things happened to him after he betrayed God and was disobedient. Samson understood his purpose and in the end finished God's work he had set aside for him to do. God tells us what will happen when we yoke ourselves with the world. God also allows certain things to happen to accomplish his will. Judges 14:1-4. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother said, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife, but Samson said to his father, get her for me. She is the right one for me. His parents did not know what this was, or did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. So Samson was young, foolish, easily allured, and easily deceived. He did not set a moral standard for us to follow, but God still used him to deliver his people from their enemies. Everyone's relationship to God is different. When we stand by and accept his promises, we know this to be true. This allows the Holy Spirit to discern situations for us as they arise. How would we react or judge someone like Samson? We all know Christians like this. God's promise of salvation cannot and will not be broken by any act we commit. We might be miserable, but that's what sin is in our lives. And that's what sin in our lives does. It destroys our relationship with God. We are as white as snow to him because of Jesus. Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Both Adam and Eve chose to be disobedient, severing that personal relationship with him. God called to Abraham, where are you? Only after Jesus went to that cross and died for our sins could that relationship with God be restored to us on a personal level. Jesus' death allowed access for all to have communion with God through his precious son's death. His only condition was to believe in him. When we choose disobedience, God's conditional promises aren't there. For some of God's promises must meet a prior condition before God will fulfill the promise in our lives, and this requires obedience and trust. 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We often only take the second part of that verse, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The condition and only way he will flee from us is if we submit to God. Jesus will help us, and Satan will have to flee. John 8:31-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What part of the verse do we always quote? And the truth shall set you free. Just knowing the truth is no guarantee that you'll be able to experience God's incredible freedom he offers us. What does it mean to abide in his word? It doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but it does mean to have a Christ-centered, spirit-filled life. When we read our Bibles, get to know our Lord, not only will we know biblical truths, we will also experience his freedom. A verse describing a conditional promise is this, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you. Perfect peace is something everyone wants, or at least most of us want, but few obtain it. This promise of perfect peace is available to Christians who are totally focused on Christ. If we are in submission to Christ and abiding in Christ, then our hearts will be centered on Jesus and God's promises to flood us with long-lasting peace. But if we set our minds on worldly things, then our peace starts to fade. In all these conditional promises, if we meet the condition, we can expect God to answer in a powerful way, and he will never let you down on any promise he has made in his word. Isaiah 40:11. God promises us this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads them, those who have the young. In Psalm 35:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So Jesus is our rock, our firm foundation on which all of us stand. Rivers of living water flow from him through us because he is holy. God gave Moses many instructions, and he had a very personal relationship with God. In God's presence, he warned Moses each time that he was in his presence, and it was holy ground he was standing. It was holy ground he was standing on. Back then, Moses could have died. When we consider Moses, we see God working through him on a personal level to deliver God's chosen people to the promised land. When God first appeared to Moses with a burning bush at Mount Horeb, he foretold to Moses that after he led his chosen people out of Egypt, he would worship him on the same mountain, which he did and gave Moses the Ten Commandments. When the Israelites needed water at Rephidim in Exodus 17, Moses cried out to the Lord in frustration, and the Lord told him to strike the rock at Horeb. When he followed the Lord's instruction, verse 5 in Exodus 17, the Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The second time Moses was called forth to bring water from a rock was in Numbers 20:1-12. In the first month, the whole Israeli community arrived at the desert of Zin. They stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the people, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the desert that we have our livestock that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff with you and your brother Aaron to gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock thrice with his staff. Water gushed out in the community, and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." By saying, "Listen, rebels, we must bring, must we bring you water out of this rock?" That statement took God out of the picture, bringing attention only to Moses and Aaron in front of the Israelites. God also told Moses to speak to the rock, not to strike it, and he hit it 2 times. Our God is sovereign and holy. When we don't trust him and get frustrated, like Moses did, our situations or struggles become worse, and his conditional promises aren't fulfilled. Even though Moses messed up, he continued to faithfully lead God's people and honor God along the way. In his holiness, God is also compassionate. He invited Moses up to the Mount Nebo, where he showed his beloved prophet the promised land before his death. So we are not alone, and his Holy Spirit makes this evident when we accept Jesus into our lives. By reading and studying the Bible, God reveals to us his promises, both unconditional and conditional. There is peace just knowing how much God adores us through his promises. They are riddled throughout the entire Bible, which made the content of this message very easy to find. It's funny, I watch YouTube, and some of the vloggers I watch are constantly looking for content. So when I started to research promises, there's no shortage of God's promises to us. Understanding the impact of his promises gives us reassurance on a daily basis that he knows our circumstances and he is and he is addressing them even when we don't think he is. Jesus doesn't tell us in his gospel to be obedient. He tells us to trust him in all things. By trusting our Lord and Savior, we abide in him, and his promises are fulfilled in our lives. When people look at us, they see his peace in our lives. And I am thankful for all you guys for being such a great example to both Stephanie and I through our lives. By showing us Jesus' love and patience, we saw Jesus, Jesus' will being done in your lives, and which in return made us want what you had, a personal Savior with abounding promises and love. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bride, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Rejoice in the Lord, always again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, always again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, always again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, always again I say rejoice.